The Big Lead is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Man, Dave Wyman, he tried quoting the Pink Floyd song Time when we were playing Name That Artist. I'm a very unusual consumer of music because I love music, but I don't hear or process lyrics at all. And I don't know why. I've never been very good at it. So since Dave was trying to quote the lyrics, I just looked him up for that song. Jeez, they're fantastic. I'm not a Pink Floyd fan, but I've heard that song hundreds of times, and I've never once heard the lyrics. But as soon as I'm off the air, I'm going to sit and listen to it with the lyrics in front of me. Ticking away the moments that make up a dull day. You fritter and waste the hours in an offhand way. Kicking around on a piece of ground in your hometown, waiting for someone or something to show you the way. This is perfect for these times. Time is perfect for these times. So I appreciate that. Okay, let's get into this hour's Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
Yeah, we're getting some more information on the Tiger Woods breaking news that we've been covering throughout the afternoon, including, we mentioned this last half hour, we now have a couple more details. Tiger Woods was staying at a hotel where some big network television show is being shot. And as the director for that TV show was pulling into the hotel, Tiger Woods, driving very fast, very erratically, almost hit the director's car as Tiger Woods was leaving. And the director of the show was so shaken, he told production staff about it after he parked. And a crew member who saw Tiger as he got into his SUV at the hotel says that once Tiger got in his vehicle, there was a delay in driving off, and he appeared agitated and impatient. They said once the delay was over, Tiger took off fast. And the sheriff's office says that speed was likely a factor as Tiger Woods' SUV went flying off this road in Rancho Palos Verdes. It rolled several times. It ended up laying on the driver's side of the vehicle. Tiger was extricated with the jaws of life, and he is in surgery for leg injuries.
Hey, Dory.
It has been all afternoon. Yes.
One other update that we've gotten from, I guess it's TMZ reporting it right now, but that the sheriff's department has said that they did not have to use the jaws of life, which was first reported.
Oh, really?
As you just mentioned.
Yeah, they've been saying that from the very beginning. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they did extricate him from the vehicle. Here is the dispatch audio when first responders got there, and it sounds like they pretty quickly recognized that it was Tiger Woods.
133 Bay. Hey, go ahead. Each of those cars, the last ones, you have all southbound traffic blocked off from Hawthorne and North.
Copy, thank you.
Hey, ma'am, do we have an ETA for fire? We have a rollover with someone trapped.
Just got off the phone with them. Let me call them back.
Is there a Lamedi unit in Dock 10-6?
Sorry, what's up, you?
Hey, I'm going to need a unit to accompany the ambulance transport to HTH, please.
Hand around from the city.
73 Tumon is the Honda 170 enthusiast. 902P, Hawthorne Boulevard and TV Drive North. Sully Hills Estates, the vehicle ran off the road between TV Drive North and Blackwood. Dispatch 20.
Okay, so that was boring. I shouldn't have played that whole thing, and I apologize for that. But the way it was sold to us in the write-up of that you could hear them calling for roads to be blocked off and that they recognized Tiger Woods was inside. But that is the news. He's in surgery right now. And just to show you how open-minded I am, because I said last hour, I think Tiger Woods is the second most recognizable person on the planet. And then with Trump being number one. And then somebody last hour said Obama, President Obama. And I would agree with that one. I'd put Barack Obama ahead of Tiger Woods. But Tiger Woods is number three. I thought it was Wyman. Was it you?
No, I said it when we first had the discussion. You just didn't hear that one. When I said Obama or Clinton.
Yeah, not Clinton. Somebody said Paul McCartney. I carefully considered Paul McCartney as possibly being more recognizable, but have since rejected it and will keep Tiger Woods at number three.
I have people supporting me on Twitter with the Oprah pick. So I'm still solid with my Oprah number two pick.
Isn't it interesting? Okay, let's say Oprah's in the top four. And Tiger Woods, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, four Americans, and all of them people of color. Three black people and one orange guy. Hey, I just made a liberal joke. How about that?
I don't know if anybody would call that a joke.
Well, no, it was more like a sage observation. It was like political humor, like I used to see from the... when the Capitol steps would sing, which is a reference not one person listening gets. All right, up next in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Jay Inslee, it is time for you to do something about our kids not being in school. The CDC says we can have in-person learning. Our state superintendent says we can have in-person. You, Jay Inslee, say we can have in-person learning. And the teachers' union still refuses. And desperate times call for desperate measures. It is time, Jay Inslee, for you to show a little bit of political backbone and stand up to the teachers' union. And here's what I would suggest. It is time, just as Ronald Reagan did, as he got rid of 11,000 air traffic controllers when they were illegally striking. The teachers' union is encouraging an illegal strike. Now, I know it would go to the courts because the teachers say, well, we'll still teach from home because it's so easy. But if you order the teachers back into class in the buildings, and they refuse to go to work, then it's time to just, and again, a lot of teachers will go back because they love their kids, they're energized by their kids, they know that they're at no greater risk, and a lot of teachers will go back. But it's time to break the union if they refuse to educate our kids. We are paying a fortune in Washington State for public education. The teachers have gotten massive raises in the last couple of years, unsustainable raises. And everybody knew that when they gave the raise, but they just thought, well, we'll have another massive tax hike in a couple of years when the bill comes due. It's time, Jay Inslee, to bust the union. Scott Walker did that in Wisconsin a couple of years ago, and their schools got dramatically better. And so, Jay, it's time to find out. You talk about all the time. Your parents were teachers. My in-laws were both public school teachers. My wife works in the public schools. It's time, Jay Inslee. You got to get the teachers back in school. You got to prove that you care about these kids that you claim to care about. Because if you're going to let them continue to get such a substandard education, to suffer the anxiety, the depression, the overdoses, the suicides that are all accompanying this lockout of the schools, well, then shame on you. Why did you get into politics? See if you can tap into whatever bit, and maybe, I don't know, with some politicians, they never had nobility as a motivation for getting into politics. It was always about control, power, ego. But I'd like to believe that a lot of politicians, they had some noble reasons for getting in at the very beginning, and then the system horribly corrupted them. And when Jay Inslee, he's been a U.S. congressman, he's been a governor, now into his third term, that can't help but corrupt an individual. But Jay, it is time for you to tap into, if there was ever any nobility as to your motivation for getting into politics to begin with. You got to see if there's a tiny shred of that that still remains. And if there is, it's time to order the kids back into the classroom. And if the teachers refuse to go and teach them, then fire the teachers. Get substitute teachers in who will actually do the job. But it's time to stop this madness. And then you have our Democratic legislature, which is obsessed with nothing but raising taxes. $1 billion for a carbon tax. Billions more on a capital gains income tax, which is unconstitutional. All they can focus on in the Democrat-run legislature is how to get more of our money. But then there have been bills introduced to return kids to the classroom, and Democrats work feverishly to kill every one of those bills. And why? Because the teachers' union owns our Democratic legislature. And the teachers' union wants the easiest work possible. And teaching from home is the easiest gig these teachers will ever have. But our kids are suffering. I just talked to somebody who had tried to get their kid into an appointment with a therapist. And a child therapist is booking 4 months out because there's so much anxiety and depression. They're prescribing all these pharmaceuticals for the kids. They're falling behind the rest of the country. We're paying premium prices for education. And we are not getting a premium return on investment. So, Jay, do what Ronald Reagan did with the air traffic controllers. Do what Scott Walker did with the teachers' union in Wisconsin. Order the kids back in class. Order the teachers back. And if the teachers refuse, fire them. Fire them. I know it'll never happen because the union would raise holy heck if he did that. But it's time to put our kids and our families first in this state. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead update.
Tell you what, this also could be a rant. So a few months ago, you may remember, we broke a story on this show about a kindergarten teacher down in the south end of Seattle who had the kids begin every day by acknowledging that they are on stolen land. Kindergartners. So, in other words, immediately, the second these kids logged on, and this was all via Zoom, of course, but this teacher wanted kids to either feel guilty or victims, which is a horrible thing to do to kindergarten.
So we always start our day.
I am on you.
Indigenous land acknowledgement, and we recognize that we are on stolen land. Land stolen many, many years ago. It's about, more than 200 years ago now. And so it wasn't you that stole the land. It wasn't your mom and dad that stole the land. It was a long, 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 long time ago. And they stole it from the Duwamish people. And now we all live on that land. And we want to recognize that the Duwamish people, who are Native Americans, are important in our society. And they're still living. and doing great things, and they're not invisible people. Let's talk about our poem today.
What a pathetic way to start the day with five-year-olds. They have no clue what she's talking about. But this teacher, she cares only about her woke culture and imposing that on the children. A teacher who, by the way, is collecting a paycheck that she earns on stolen land, who lives in a house that is on stolen land. What a stinking hypocrite. If she's willing to do every aspect of her life on stolen land, but then she wants to show the kids how noble she is. And she was doing it every day. And Angela was the mom who recorded that and provided it to us and broke the story with us. As the mom of a kindergartner, what was your take on it?
You just told my kid that they're living on something stolen, and stealing is bad. I just was in shock, actually. Like, what is happening?
Now, we broke the story months ago, and I will tell you that just last night, Tucker Carlson, Jason Rantz is all over Tucker Carlson. We don't get any acknowledgement for our exclusive story?
Anywhere near a college campus lately, or know anyone who cheered the renaming of the Washington Redskins, you probably heard the term land acknowledgement. But if you haven't heard the term, here's what it is. Land acknowledgement means you're acknowledging guilt for living on land that was taken from some other group at some point in the past, maybe thousands of years before. In other words, land acknowledgement is a way to feel guilty about living virtually anywhere on planet Earth. At an inauguration event for Joe Biden, for example, one Democrat offered this land acknowledgement, quote, "Our country was built on indigenous land and we pay tribute to the indigenous nations," end quote. Now, the purpose, and we should be very clear about this, of land acknowledgments isn't to solve anything or make anyone's life better. None of the people who perform land acknowledgments give up their own land, return it to anyone. They don't really believe what they're saying. If they did, of course, once again, they would give up their own land. That's not the point. The point is control. In order to make people obedient to your will, first they must feel inferior. Many school districts are now doing everything they can to make your kids feel that way. Inferior, flawed. Here's the latest example. One mother in Renton, Washington, recorded her child's kindergarten teacher forcing the class to participate in a land acknowledgement every day. The sessions, the struggle sessions, went on endlessly. One went on for 17 minutes, all for the benefit of the Dumawish tribe, who didn't, in the end, of course, benefit. They got nothing.
What did he call the Duwamish? The Dumawish? The Dumawish tribe. All right. So, Nicole, what does it take for us to get some respect?
Oh, you're killing me. You just cut off that segment, and it actually quoted her. Okay. And then
I'll play the rest of it.
The mother recorded the classes and confronted the principal about it. As the mother put it, quote, "You just told my kids that they're living on something stolen, and stealing is bad. I was in shock." Of course, the mother probably didn't steal her land. She probably pays her mortgage for it. But that's what they told her kid. And that shouldn't surprise you. When you lock children inside for an entire year at home, as so many school districts have, you've already taught them they're inferior, they're flawed. They're not worth educating. That's the message. In Renton, Washington, they're just making that message explicit.
It's crazy. He'd never said thanks to the Dori Monson Show for providing that cut or that quote.
I know.
Rude.
I mean, he quoted
we credit
exactly.
him all the time.
Yeah. What does it take? We don't get any respect. We're the Rodney Dangerfield of radio talk. That's the bottom line here.
Can't
breaking
get, no.
stories left and right, crying out loud. All right, that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Dumawish tribe. Hey, I could have taught you how to pronounce it, Tucker. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then lots more to come. We got some stuff from our president. That you gotta hear. Coming up next here on the Dori Monson Show. Nicole, did you get the audio I just sent you? I didn't even have time to give you a heads up on it.
I did not. Sorry. Let me grab it.
Well, now we've got an important decision to make for Awesome Audio today. Do we want to know? Do we care? I didn't even have time to click on it, so I haven't heard it. Do we care about the video message that O.J. Simpson has just sent to Tiger Woods?
Oh, I'm going to guess nobody really cares, but it might be interesting to hear.
I kind of want to hear it. Yeah, so okay. I'm thinking we should go with it.
I bet you he introduces himself and calls himself yours truly, though.
Does he do that in every video?
Yes, everyone.
Okay.
Hello,
yeah,
Twitter
I kinda
world.
Wanna hear it.
Yours truly here.
Mm-hmm. So would you please pull O.J. Simpson for us for the Tiger Woods awesome audio today?
Okay.
Lots of other stuff to get to. If there's one thing that you think might bring us together in these divisive times, it is that I don't think any of us on the left or on the right want a totalitarian government. It was almost exactly a year ago when we were told we had to shut down restaurants and bars and stay at home, not be social, because they needed 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Well, now we're beginning our second year of flattening the curve. And much of what they're doing has zero connection to health, public health. I just heard that France just announced they're going to allow festivals this summer with a maximum capacity of 5,000 people. You think there's some health reason behind that? Why not just 1,000? Why not 10,000? How is 5,000 the sweet spot? Here in Washington, we don't have any kids yet playing indoor sports around the country. Some kids are playing basketball for their high schools. They're allowing, you know, each family 4 members to come in. None of the students can attend. Is there a health, public health reason behind that, or is it about control? The reason I bring this up is Naomi Wolf is a pretty far-left author. She worked on Bill Clinton's campaign. She was very close to Barack Obama. And she has gone on Twitter and said she never would have voted for Joe Biden if she knew that he was going to continue the lockdown of our country. And she's really upset about it because she, like most of us, do not want government doing things solely for the purpose of controlling us. So she was on Tucker Carlson last night, and she said, yeah, this is where we're headed.
The terrible crisis that we're in, that we have to recognize under the guise of a real medical pandemic, we're really moving into a coup situation, a police state situation. And that's not a partisan thing. That, you know, as you say, that transcends everything you and I might agree or disagree on.
Right.
That should bring together left and right to protect our Constitution. We're absolutely moving into what I call step 10. I wrote a book in which I pointed out there were 10 steps that would-be tyrants always take when they want to close down a democracy. Whether they're on the left or the right, they always do the same 10 things. And now we're at something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. You described it really, really well. It is step 10, and that's the suspension of the rule of law. That's when you start to be a police state, and we're here. There's no way around it.
And she regrets voting for Joe Biden. This is somebody who has been a lifelong diehard Democrat.
The state has now crushed businesses, kept us from gathering in free assembly to worship, as the First Amendment provides, is invading our bodies, as you mentioned, which is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, is restricting movement.
And let me elaborate on the invading our bodies. There was a woman who she works at a restaurant, and she was eligible to get the vaccine. And she's not an anti-vaxxer. She just said, yeah, you know what? My husband and I want to have kids. I've heard some negative stuff about how it can affect you and your, you know, what might happen if you try to have kids after being vaccinated. She said, I just want to wait until, you know, this vaccine was rushed out there. I just want to wait, get a little more data, make sure it's not going to hurt our chances to have kids. She didn't say, I won't get that vaccine. She just said, I want more information before something gets injected into my body. She was fired from her job because they told her, you have to get the vaccine. So whatever happened, and this is the point that Naomi Wolf was making, when it comes to, left-wing politics, it's always about women. My body, my choice. And it's mostly used when talking about abortion. But why wouldn't women and men have the same sovereignty to say, this vaccine was rushed out there and I don't want to get... You can get fired for that now in America. And that's what Naomi Wolf is talking about. That they are taking away our rights and our freedoms in the pursuit of totalitarianism.
Fining us here in New York State, I could be fined $15,000 a day if I gather people, more than 10 or 25 people, depending on where in New York State I live, which is a complete violation of the First Amendment. I mean, the violations go on and on and on. I've talked to restaurant owners who are looking at a sector in which tens of thousands of small businesses have been crushed. And why were they crushed? Not because a pandemic forced them to. There is no real science underlying a lot of these closures. It's because autocratic tyrants at the state and now the national level are creating a kind of merger of corporate power and government power, which is really characteristic of Italian fascism in the 20s. And they're using that to engage in kind of emergency orders that simply strip us of our rights, rights to property, rights to assembly, rights to worship, and all of the rights that our Constitution guarantees. So people are definitely horrified and noticing. I think people are shocked.
So why can't we galvanize behind this? That we still want freedom. We still want sovereignty. Isn't that something that's universal? Isn't that what the left and the right wants? That we want to be free from government controlling us so horribly? And none of it in the name of science or public health, but all in the name of control. Yeah, I think we should be very wary of what's going on. And I'm not the only one. And maybe this will galvanize the left and the right. I certainly hope so. Okay, quick time out. And then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. The Dory Monson Show's Awesome Audio is brought to you by Davis Law Group. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Without any further ado, it's time to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
We are going to get a new attorney general now that Joe Biden is president. Merrick Garland is the nominee. He has been appearing before the Senate for questioning. And I tell you what, this didn't fill me with much confidence listening to his questioning. For example, he is very upset, as we all are, at what happened at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. He's not as upset about all of the other rioting, the 22 people who have been murdered in riots, the billions of dollars of property damage, because those riots occurred at night, apparently. And apparently, our new top cop is going to make determinations based on what time of day the crime is committed.
An attack on a courthouse while in operation, trying to prevent judges from actually deciding cases, that plainly is domestic extremism, domestic terrorism, an attack simply on a government property at night or any other kind of circumstances is a clear crime. That's where I draw the line.
But it's not as severe at night. It's just a crime. It's not terrorism at night. Now, here's something he must have thought about if he wants to be attorney general. Are you going to protect our borders? Are you going to let illegals just come freely across our borders?
Mark, look into that practice of using asylum claims by drug cartels to weaken border security.
I have not known about this, and I will certainly look into this problem.
Do you believe that illegal entry at America's border should remain a crime?
I just haven't thought about that question.
What? You haven't thought if illegal entry should be a crime? Let me tip you off. The first word in that phrase is illegal entry. But he hasn't thought about whether that should be a crime. Oh, man. Heaven help us. It is going to be a run on America by illegal aliens. An attorney general nominee doesn't even know about. But you know what we found out about Merrick Garland? There's a lot of things he just doesn't know.
I don't know anything really about the investigation. I don't know very much specifically about your two proposals. I don't know specifically about those. But, Senator, I don't know the specifics of the act. I don't know the specifics of how the legislation would do that. I don't know what information the department has now. I don't know enough about the facts of the example you're talking about. But I honestly don't know what happened with the nursing homes. I don't know. With respect to the Durham investigation, I don't know anything about it other than what has appeared in the media. Similarly with Mr. Durham, I don't know anything about that investigation. I don't know very much at all about the policy. I have read but don't know a lot about the solitary confinement issue. Again, I don't know the specifics, but I honestly just don't know. I don't know that much about 230 except for the case. I don't know the statute specifically, provisions that do that, but I don't know the statute, no. The State Department have an obligation to apply that law. I don't know what the guidelines are that you're talking about.
He just doesn't know anything. He could be our next attorney general. President Biden's spokesperson, Jen Psaki, she was talking about down at the southern border where, you know, Donald Trump was putting kids in cages. Turns out the Biden administration is doing the exact same thing in the exact same cages. But the media doesn't care anymore. Hollywood doesn't care anymore. They never cared about the children. It was just a political game for them. So, but Jen Psaki, why is this administration putting children in cages?
Why is the Biden administration reopening a temporary facility for migrant children in Texas?
Well, first, the policy of this administration, as you well know, but just for others, is not to expel unaccompanied children who arrive at the border. And the process, how it works, is that Customs and Border Control continue to transfer unaccompanied children to the HHS Office of Refugee Resettlement. That can take a couple of days. I just want to give this context so people need to understand the process.
So in other words, you're doing exactly what the Trump administration did. The nice thing for you, though, is you don't have celebrities and the media and everybody else making up how much they care about the kids, because they don't care anymore about those children, apparently. And finally, I haven't heard this yet, but O.J. Simpson sending his best wishes to Tiger Woods this afternoon.
Hey, Twitter world. Like most people, I've been watching the coverage of Tiger Woods and his accident. Of course, all our prayers are going, you know, to him and his family. You know, Sunday, watching the Genesis Open and watching Tiger be interviewed, my daughter was in the kitchen, and she said, "Dad, Tiger doesn't look good." I said, "Well, he may be on some medication because he just had another back surgery." And, you know, I at one point had a little sciatic problem, and trust me, I was living on pain medication. There's nothing fun about it, and with the many back surgeries he had, I just assumed he was on some medication. I don't know what that has to do with this.
Okay, we don't. None of us do. But that's the perspective of somebody who got away with murder on the Tiger Woods accident today. Okay, that's going to do it for us. Tom and Curly are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Those are Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day on 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience. The